This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. Looking forward to kind of unpacking some history and some information maybe you don't know about in the Umpqua Valley. Coming up in just a number of days, week and a half or so away, 40th anniversary of the Cow Creek Umpqua Tribe being federally recognized. Also the 30th anniversary of Seven Feathers Casino right before that as well. And Cow Creek CEO Michael Rondo in. Thanks for coming in this afternoon.
Well, thank you for having me.
You know, it's interesting to look at history of Douglas County. And of course, you talk about 40 years for the tribe. That's under the current federally recognized status. But back up another 150 years even farther back, yeah. And talk about what you are aware of from the very early days.
Well, it's kind of unique history. I can start out in the mid-1850s. Cow Creek was one of the first two treaty tribes in the Pacific Northwest. September 19th, 1853 was the date that our treaty was signed. There was about a week before that, the Rogue River Treaty was signed. And so we're one of the very few treaties that were signed that were ratified by the Senate. And it was in April of 1854. But unfortunately, the treaty didn't hold for the Rogue tribe, and the Rogue River Wars broke out. And so there was a lot of chaos in Southern Oregon at that time. And our treaty was basically, you know, put aside and ignored, even though it had been ratified by the Senate. And many of the Cow Creek people were caught up in the march of taking the tribes from Southern Oregon up to reservations in the north, to the Grand Ronde reservation and some to the Siletz. And many of the families hid in the mountains. And so they had eventually married into the fur traders of the area at the time. And ancestors of ours back in the early 1900s were still organized, and they still functioned as a tribe, but had integrated into the local communities in many ways. And five times during the 19-teens, 20s, and 30s, there was a bill introduced five times to recognize the Cow Creeks. Basically, you know, the treaty was ignored, but to get the treaty recognized again, there had to be some type of formal action from Congress. And of those five times, the final time, it did pass both houses of Congress, but was vetoed by President Hoover because of the Great Depression. So there just wasn't enough resources to get into the Indian business, was the quote. And so the tribe basically was still functioned and did their things, you know, as far as cultural and activities of families and gatherings. But it wasn't until 1954 when Congress, through a bill that was sponsored by the Secretary of Interior at the time, that was actually a former governor or senator from Oregon. He was appointed as Secretary of Interior, and he had an experimental project, and it was terminating the tribes. So the tribes in Western Oregon were like a pilot group, and so all the tribes that were on the west side of the Cascades in Oregon were terminated. It was advertised as legislation to set the Indians free, but what it was is it abolished all of the tribal reservations and all the government-to-government relationship that the tribe had with the federal government. And that was in 1954. Cow Creek hadn't really been recognized since 1854. So it was basically 100 years before they were recognized in 1954, only to be terminated officially out of an abundance of caution, is what the wording was. So that termination era that affected just the Oregon tribes, and there were a few tribes throughout the country, some in Minnesota and Michigan that were also terminated. But basically, it was Oregon tribes that were part of that termination. And it proved disastrous. And over the years, the Oregon tribes, each of their area, organized in 1977. The Confederated Tribes of Siletz were the first tribe to go back to Congress and get restored. Then in 1982, the Cow Creek Band of Umpqua Tribe of Indians went to Congress and we were restored in 1982. Following us was the Grand Ronde Tribe. Then we had the Coos, Lower Umpqua, and Siusla Tribe was recognized in 1986. And then in 1989, the Coquel Tribe. So there was when there were restorations of these tribes, it was just a recognition that they were a tribal government. Under the United States Constitution, tribes are recognized as governments, as our states. And so there was an official standing there, but it was just to clarify it and get that restoration through the federal government, which allowed us to function as a government, on a government-to-government relationship with the feds. 1982 was a big year for us. It was a lot of work had been gone into that prior to the actual recognition. There were many trips to Washington, D.C. by some of our elders who've passed on now, who testified before Congress and pled the case. And our bill was actually in a rare, what you'd see rare now. It was unanimous consent. There was no opposition from anyone in Congress. And so our recognition went through December 29th, 1982. That's our official date, but we really weren't in business until about April of 83. And that was when we held our first event that was celebrating the fact that we were restored. Since that time, it's ironic, but a lot of our milestones have happened in April. And we were successful in opening our Cow Creek Indian Bingo Center in 1992 in April. And then after that, there were several different construction projects and remodels and modifications done, and they always seem to end up in April. So we've used April as our month that we actually recognize as our restored date.
Now, my understanding is Cow Creek was also the first tribe to get a compact with the state of Oregon, right?
That's correct.
So explain that to people, because the word compact probably doesn't always make sense.
Well, prior to 1988, there were tribes in California that were doing bingo halls, and there was a Supreme Court case that was called Cabazon versus the U.S., and that basically said that tribes had the right to do this on their lands. Well, the case didn't satisfy some of the states, and so actually the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act was passed in 1988. A lot of people think that that act was passed to allow tribes to do gaming. It was not. It was actually a restriction. It was putting some restrictions upon what tribes were authorized to do on their own lands. And what that law said was if gambling or whatever was allowed in the state, the tribes could participate in that. Well, in the case in Oregon, we had the state lottery, and we had Happy Canyon Days in Pendleton, and there were a lot of established casino nights, and a lot of those activities allowed our tribe to approach the state under the Indian Gaming Regulatory Act and negotiate a compact. And what that compact was, it was a basically a contract that prescribed how we would go about gaming. We couldn't do anything that the state didn't allow, but the state technically allowed all of that gaming. But the Oregon Constitution stated that it had a ban on casinos. However, that was up through the years have been interpreted. It was not, it did not apply to tribes because of the sovereign lands that they hold. And so we were the first tribe that approached then Governor Roberts and her team. Pamela Abernathy was with the Attorney General's office. Carrie Barnett was a representative for the governor. And interestingly, an employee of ours, a longtime employee that came to work for us, John McCafferty, he was representing the Oregon State Police at the time. And then, of course, on our side, we had Sue Schaefer, our former chairwoman, myself, Sherry Schaefer, and Carol McKinney. And we were the ones that approached the state and had a series of several meetings and developed the first tribal-state compact in Oregon. And we were successful in opening our bingo hall in April of 1992, and from there it grew.
And more when we get back on Umpqua Valley on Inside Douglas County. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson on the way at 1 this afternoon. We're talking about the 40th anniversary being federally recognized with the Cow Creek Umpqua Tribe of Indians CEO Michael Rondo. And so much history there. At the very beginning of Seven Feathers, you use the term bingo hall. So if somebody has come in recent years, when they drive by the facility now, how much different was it when you started out?
Well, we had humble beginnings. The financing for Oregon's first gaming center, which technically was the name, but it was a bingo hall. But we wanted to have a better image, and it was the bingo center. It was literally like a tin building. It was very nice for being a tin building, but the financing came from the Bureau of Indian Affairs. We were finally able to negotiate a loan from them because the banks in Oregon weren't really familiar with financing tribal operations. And there were so many processes that had not been set up to deal with tribes and because of their sovereign nature and the idea of, you know, reservation versus fee lands. There was no collateral. And so we were fortunate to be able to work with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and we were the last tribe to secure a guaranteed loan from the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and it was $850,000. And we utilized that to build the facility. It was a 9,600 square foot facility. It sat probably about 250 players for bingo. And, you know, over the years, then we eventually added a restaurant. We added the slot machines. There were 35 that were initially put in that facility after it had opened. It had operated as a bingo facility for probably 8 to 10 months. And at that time, we were still negotiating with the state of Oregon on bringing in the machines. And so we were able to do that. We built a restaurant in that facility. And then we started moving toward the major expansion that happened in 1996. And that's where we rebranded and renamed Seven Feathers, seven representing the seven families that make up our tribe. Mm. That's where the Seven Feathers came from. And it was rebranded, and it opened up as the new world-class facility that it is. Some things that we're very proud of are, you know, it was Oregon's first major casino of its size. And after that, you know, other tribes, Grand Ronde, Celeste, and others had brought on their casinos as well. we have successfully operated now for 30 years and are very proud of our employment that we've held. We've got many people that have worked there for 2 decades, sometimes 3 decades. And we're very proud of the retaining a lot of employees there. In recent years, were named one of the top 10 casinos in the nation. And that's all casinos, not just Indian casinos. But that was something that we were very proud of and try to stay ahead of the game through marketing and bringing on new ideas, new entertainment, that type of thing.
Wow, it's been quite the evolution. As well, in the mix of all this, a few years ago, it was a long process led to some land from the federal level going to the tribe.
Yes. In our 1853 treaty, it spelled out that the tribe gave up over 800 square miles of land that was considered their territory. It was actually more than that, but that's what they had come up with the boundaries that they had determined at the time in the 1850s. And so we approached Senator Wyden in probably 2011, and he understood the absence of recognition of the treaty and worked with us on a bill that took, you know, probably 8 years. I think it was 2018 when it finally did pass. But what that bill did is restore approximately 17,000 acres back to the tribe of its Aboriginal lands. And it was a true testament to, you know, reparations for what our treaty had called for. And so it was a permanent reservation that was transferred to the tribe. And unfortunately, it wasn't even a year after we received that property back that there was a devastating fire, the Milepost 97 fire, and it destroyed over 3,500 acres of that. And so that's been a challenge, and we've been dealing with that for the last several years in getting that cleaned up and restored and productive again.
About a minute and a half left on Inside Douglas County. As you look ahead, what do you think's on the horizon in the next 40 years?
Well, you as a tribe, we're conditioned and taught to look beyond the present to 7 generations ahead, and that has been instilled in us. And I hope that what has been instilled in us by our ancestors continues, and we certainly try that. And that's building our community. And I've been quoted several times of repeating a quote. I don't know who said it, but, you know, high tide floats all ships. And that's been the philosophy of our tribe. And we work for a better community because it helps everyone and it helps us in return. If you're living in a place that has a lot of resources and a healthy community, everyone seems to be doing pretty well. And that's what we've always strived for, you know, creating self-reliance and the ability to take care of yourself.
Just about out of time. I know that you've got a community partner night. You're going to be celebrating all of this with an invited group not that far off.
Yes, it's actually April 29th, and it will be at Seven Feathers, and it's called Journey Through the Generations. It's a night we can celebrate not only just the recognition that the tribe has received and the support that we've received from the community over the years, but it's also our partners that we've worked with through business ventures and vendors that we do business with through Seven Feathers and some of our other businesses. So it'll be a night of celebration, and we're looking forward to that.
All right, Michael Rondeau, CEO of the Cow Creek Umpqua Tribe, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
1257.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.